submit to, as employees submit to employers, as citizens submit to the president, as law-abiding citizens submit to the police, as students submit to teachers. In the same way, this is in the same realm that all of us find ourselves submitting. In the same way, submit to the Lord in the same way, while being conscious of God, is what a different verse says. In the same way, for the Lord's sake, submit to your husbands. In the same way, while being conscious of God, submit to your husbands. Okay. I thought I was missing my notes here. Okay, there we go. Again, we never submit, wives never submit to husbands if what they want you to do is something that would lead you to sin. We just got to throw that out there. We have to talk about this. This is so true. All right. Submit yourselves to your own husbands. Submit to their what? Their will, their wishes, their sinful desires and needs. Is that what a wife is supposed to submit to her husband to? Ephesians chapter 5 talks about this. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. When you think about this, you understand that, all right, men and women are equal. Wives and husbands are equal. But one of them has been called to take lead. One of them has been called to be the team captain. One of them has been made accountable for the direction and the health of the family, for the safety of the family, which includes wife and kids. Okay? One of them is called for that. This is not something that most husbands want to do. I talked to a lot of husbands who are like, look, I just don't want to, let me go to work, come home, and you know, they don't want to lead any more than a lot of wives want to submit. This is a very countercultural thing. Now, the question becomes, how does the wife do this? Is this submitting in everything? That's absolutely not submitting in everything, especially when it comes to the sinful desires or flippant desires, or your husband says, hey, and my wife's name is Mary. Mary, go make me a sandwich. The Bible says, submit. Okay? Oh my goodness. No. She should not submit because I'm being selfish. All right? So, what does this mean? It means that a wife, that she voluntarily recognizes God's design for leadership in the home, and she honors it. She chooses to support and affirm and cooperate with their husband as he seeks to lead the family in Christ-like sacrificial love. She offers wisdom and guidance as an active helpmate and a partner, bringing strength and insight and counsel without slipping into controlling or domination. You think about this wife of noble character. You think about what her husband should be doing. In Proverbs 31, as it's going down all the qualities of a godly wife, one of the things it says in verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. This is a leadership that man has, an accountability to God in the community. So this wife of noble character understands that her husband has been called to something different, something that is incredibly difficult to do. So what does she do? She realizes, God, this is your way of doing it. Maybe this isn't the way that I would do it. I've very rarely seen it done right. But this is something that I'm going to have to do. She supports, she affirms, and she cooperates. She offers wisdom and guidance. Proverbs 31 is talking about how a husband values a wife. This godly wife, listen to what it says. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all of the days of her life. I would say that with my wife, there's no way I would be able to lead if I didn't have her, because of her wisdom, because she completes me. Remember, when God made Adam and Eve, He made Adam first, and then He made Eve out of Adam. He made man to work, and He made man understand, as He got done naming all the animals, that he was alone, that he was incomplete, that he couldn't do it on his own. And He made Eve to solve the first problem in the history of the earth. Women, you are the answer to the first problem in the history of the earth. And when the Bible talks about the image of God, it's not just man who is made in the image of God. It says male and female, He made them. Last night, I'm talking to my wife about something complicated. And I told her that I was going to go in a certain direction about this. And she gave me some wisdom. And I thought, no. And she said, no, you need to listen to me. And I listened. And then I said, you know what, you're right. That's wise. I wasn't thinking straight. It's the wisdom of the husband and the wife working together that brings forth the life that God would have us live. This comes through submission. Submit yourselves to your own husbands as He leads. She trusts God's plans enough for the family to release control and support the husband in his leadership. I remember one time when I was a young man, barely Christian, there was a controversial subject came up at our church. And I was like, we're leaving this church. And my wife said, no, baby, I don't think that's the right reason to leave. And I said, no, we're leaving. We got to do what's right. And she said, no, you need to go back to the drawing board on this. And I said, we're leaving. And she goes, all right, I'll submit to you on this. But if you're wrong, you're wrong to God. You're accountable for Him for not only how this affects you, but how this affects me. And you know what I did? I went, oh, you're right. Hold on. Let me back up a little bit. Let me really think about what I believe on this. And it ended up that she was right. We didn't leave the church. Now, what submit yourself to your husband doesn't mean? Doesn't mean submit to him if it leads you in sin. It doesn't mean you can't, it doesn't mean you have to do everything your husband tells you to do. It doesn't mean that your husband's better than you. Coaches aren't better than players. Teachers aren't better than students. Politicians aren't better than the public. But the one thing that they have in common is that one has a position of authority over the other. Doesn't mean that your husband is always right. On the contrary, your wisdom is absolutely necessary. Doesn't mean that your husband is more spiritually mature, knows more Bible than you. I could tell you for sure that I know plenty of wives who are way more spiritually mature than their husbands. This doesn't mean that she now doesn't have to obey God and submitting to Him. This means that she understands the importance of doing it right, of what this man could be like if he matures in Christ. This whole, if you're more mature than him, is interesting because I remember teaching a class years ago to associate pastors. Sometimes the associate pastor who submits to a senior pastor is actually a better and more mature pastor than the senior pastor. So how does that associate pastor function underneath that? Does he just cross his arms and go, I should be doing this? No. He works hard to make sure that that senior pastor is successful. He's put in a wonderful place to be able to support that senior pastor in achieving God's will. It's a position of influence over authority, of submission over control, of humility over pride. This is for wives to submit to husbands, but please don't forget, we're all called to submit like this in other areas of our lives. Cop pulls me over. I need to respect that. I can't go, you don't tell me what to do. I have to respect that. Okay? Governor puts in a new tax. I have to respect that. It doesn't matter if they're better than me or I'm better than them. This is just the way that it lived. This is the way that it is. It's so funny. As you think about this verse, now it comes in kind of a, it now it goes to a kind of how to lead someone to Christ if you're married to him and it's your husband. A lot of wives follow Christ first, especially at my other church in the Japanese culture. So many wives, so many women follow Jesus first. As a matter of fact, my experience has been at most churches, they're more women than men. So how does God work through that woman's submission to put their husband in a place to be able to receive Jesus if the Lord so wills it? It says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. Faithful wife is submitting to her non-Christian husband in godly ways, and this is done with her actions, not her words necessarily. You can't talk someone into becoming a Christian. You can't lecture someone. Think about your kids, right? If I say it 1,000 times, will you believe it? Not necessarily. You can't argue someone into going to church. All that does is create tension. Okay? You do it without words. It's actions speak louder than words. Proverbs 10:19 says, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent holds their tongue. Let me tell you something. When my wife is silent on an issue and I ask her opinion on it, I listen way harder. Because silence speaks louder than noise. She wins them over with our behavior. What kind of behavior? In purity and in holiness. That means that they look like Christ. They're Christ-like in their purity, moral purity, sexual purity, purity of motives, and their godliness. They are holy. And the husband looks at the wife and says, this person is different. They look different. Their actions are different in purity. He says they may win them over by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of their lives. The purity and the reverence of their lives. Reverence to who? Their husbands? No. Reverence to God. Out of respect for God, they submit to their husbands. Not because their husbands are worth it. Many of us aren't. But out of respect for God. Reverence. Understanding that His call is an important call. Look at Ephesians 5. You don't need to look. I'll read it to you. Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body of which He is the Savior. It's so funny to understand when I talk to wives and husbands, and the husbands think that they got, like the wives think, well, my husband, all he has to do is submit. I mean, all he has to do is just lead. I'm the one who has to give up something by submitting. Actually, the husband is called to minister to his wife and his family like Jesus did for the church. What did Jesus do for the church? He died for the church. He suffered for the church. Husbands are called to live for their wives, to die for their wives, and God's will for their lives, and suffer for them. That's a fact. That is what husbands are called to. So as a godly woman who submits, you say, look, I know your calling, and I know it's a high calling, and I want to be able to support you in it because this is God's plan. You think of the power of a godly wife when it comes to a non-Christian husband. I think the most famous person like this was Saint Monica. She is the mother of Saint Augustine. St. Augustine's mom was a faithful, godly woman. His dad was not a godly person. She didn't nag him. She didn't badger him. She loved him and was slow to anger, quick to love. She was long-suffering. Her life was characterized by patience and prayer and a quiet perseverance. And through this became a powerful instrument in God's hands. It softened her husband's heart and ultimately pointed him towards Christ. And he became a Christian because of her. Saint Monica. Wives, submit to your husbands. Why? Because it's God's plan. Well, what if I'm more mature than they are? It's still God's plan. You're in a great spot of influence. Well, what if they want me to sin? Then don't submit to them on that, because you're submitting to God, and God calls you not to sin. Then he moves into another element of behavior in verse 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold and jewelry or fine clothes. We live in a culture today that is absolutely obsessed over beauty and youthfulness. And these standards are currently changing. Always. They're always changing. But see, the type of beauty that God understands is true, the best type of beauty, is the inner beauty. It's that steady, lasting beauty that never goes away. You can't get so old in your faith that you're not beautiful anymore. The older you get in your faith, the more mature you get in the faith, the more beautiful you get. Have you ever met a woman who in her godliness just radiated beauty? Even if it wasn't like a physical beauty? Now, does this mean it's wrong for a godly woman to dress nice or look good or care about her looks? No, it's not wrong at all to do that. It just means they don't put their identity in the temporariness of their physical beauty. Proverbs 31, the ideal woman says, she is clothed in fine linen and purple, and she is clothed with strength and dignity. Okay? So this is another way that the husband, who's not a Christian, looks at his wife and learns from her through influence the power of internal beauty, of beauty that never fades. Verse 4, rather it should be that of an inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Godly wives are beautiful in all the ways that it matters. Again, it is unfading. It doesn't fade with time. I think we all kind of go through this. I know that in various times of my life, I used to put my identity in the fact that I was buffed or I was tall or whatever, and then the older I get, the fatter I get, the less muscle I get, the shorter I get, and it's this identity crisis, right? What do I look like? I thought I was the big tall guy. I was putting my hope in that. I didn't even know it. What he's saying here is, wives, don't put your faith in how you look. It's okay to want to look good, but don't put your faith in it. Remember the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. I want to break some bad theology about gentleness. The word gentle here is the word meek. You guys ever heard of the word meek? A lot of people think meek means weak. It is the absolute opposite of weakness. The Greeks had a wonderful way with painting word pictures. They painted the picture of meekness by showing you a horse, a strong, proud, muscular, powerful horse that scares you in how much power it has, that lets a small, insignificant person, child, climb it and control it. The horse is the one with the power. But their meekness allowed them to be controlled by someone else. Controlled is the wrong word in the context of marriage, obviously. It means bridled strength. Jesus is called meek. He said, I could raise up a legion of angels right now to destroy you if I wanted to, but he didn't. A gentle spirit could retaliate, could lash out, could return evil for evil. but it doesn't because it's meek. Now, men, are you called to be meek also? Yes. Yes, we're all called to be meek. Blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, what about quiet? Does quiet mean that you shouldn't talk around your husband? When the man talks, the woman listens, right? No, that is not at all what this means. Quiet spirit means that inside this person is a peaceable, calm individual. The opposite would be argumentative or contentious. Deep down, this wife, this woman is at peace. That's what this means. All Christians are called to this. Why is she at peace? She's at peace because she trusts the Lord, because she fears the Lord. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Who would you rather please? Yourself, another human, or God? It's incredible. Some of the most powerful people I've ever met in my life, men or women, are people with gentle and quiet spirits. They're not walking around talking about how cool they are and how awesome they are. They're not bullies. They're the slow, steady voice of a faithful Christian who can speak as loud with silence as they can with words. They submit because they're not worried about what's going to happen because they trust God. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful person. Verse 5, for this is the way the holy women of the past put their hope in God, how they used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed and called him her Lord. Now, remember, when Sarah called Abraham Lord, she didn't mean like Lord, like Jesus. It's also translated master. It's more of a term of respect. It's a term of acknowledging authority. I don't know if there's a word today that we would say that kind of mentions that. I know that our Japanese wives, our Japanese pastor's wife, I love, she always says, my husband wanted to know if. My husband, his name is Jiro, my husband. I always think about that. That is a term of respect. She calls him that out of respect. Not because he's awesome, although he is awesome, but because God is awesome. And she understands the power of influence and submission. So important to remember that. For this way, the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, not to other husbands, their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed and called him her Lord. Called him her Lord, and she obeyed him. Now remember, submission is a posture. Players have it towards their coaches. Students have it towards their teachers. Employees have it towards their employers. Citizens have it towards the government. Now we see that wives have it toward their husbands. Submission, obedience, is an action that is based on submission. Sarah chose to obey Abraham. She expressed, in that respect, she called him Lord. She did things like when God said, Abraham, go into this foreign area, and I'm not going to tell you where to go. And she said, all right, I'm going to trust God as you trust God, and we're going to go. That didn't mean that she always did what she wanted to do, that she was just like a sweet little woman who never disobeyed. No, that is not the image that God has for us here. Sarah was a powerful woman, as were the other ladies in the Bible. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. The thing, ladies, I will say this, I'll say this to men also. Ladies, the thing that will keep you from submitting to your husband in a godly way, with wisdom And from a place of meekness and power, the thing that will keep you from doing that a lot of times is going to be fear. What if he's wrong? What if I know better? What if this is the bad decision? All of these what ifs, they come in and they crowd. It's the same fear that keeps us from obeying God on other things. Same exact fear. It's the same thing. It says, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. So we obey God as wives. You're submitting to God through submitting to your husband's servant leadership, loving leadership in Christ. It's not because of who he is or you think he's awesome. It's because of who God is. Scripture calls all believers to resist fear and trust God's plan for the family. You know what Proverbs 31 says about a woman of noble character, this kind of high point, this is what you should aim for, women? It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord, respects the Lord, is to be praised. Scripture calls believers to resist fear and to trust God's plans for the family. Submit to your own husbands. I acknowledge, sisters, this is a hard teaching. We have to remember that Peter is preaching this. I am under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. This isn't me saying you should do this because I have this wild idea. No. I'm just the messenger. I'm just communicating what Pastor Peter is saying through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to say this to the sisters. The sisters in Christ here, trying to live out this scripture in real homes, real marriages, real conversations, at the kitchen table, at late night moments, and everything feels tense, uncertain. I acknowledge this is a hard teaching. I don't want to pretend otherwise. These tensions are real. But don't fear them. Don't respect them. In wisdom, deal with them, but respect the Lord more. This week, as you wrestle with the concept of submitting to your husband if you're married, I want you to encourage you to do a few things. Now, if you're not married or you don't plan on getting married as a woman, remember, these are the things, or as a man, these are the things that people do in the other aspects of submission anyways. So this applies to all of us, no matter whether or not we're married or not. Remember this. Wives, God is not surprised by your situation. Your struggles with your husband, his sins, where you've tried and failed, where it doesn't work, sin issues that plague you and him. He's not unaware of your questions about the details, about things that need to happen, how, what, when, where, and why of submitting to your husband. He's not unaware, and he has you right where he wants you to be. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. This concept of wives submitting to husband, wives, obeying this, or obeying to God as you submit to your husband, as imperfect as he may be, is something that is made to bring you a blessing and your kids or future kids a blessing. Don't allow the fear of people doing it wrong or what the culture says about this to drive you to hold on to power. Understand that power comes in meekness and releasing it, not just for wives, but for everybody. Trust that God's way is right and good and holy, even when it's culturally irrelevant. Pray. And pray as if your prayer actually works. Husbands, we're not off the hook. Next week, we're going to be studying what a husband's responsibility is to this. But as we close, I want to read to you the wife of noble character from Psalm 31. This is what a wife, a godly wife, should aspire towards. Think about how that applies as we think about this verse. Ready? Here it goes. Verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with her hands eager. She's like the merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and she buys it. So she's an investor. She's a provider. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's a contributor. She sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for the task. She's hard working. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. She is dependable. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle in her fingers. She is resourceful. Oh, I love this. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She's compassionate. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gates and when he takes his seat amongst the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. I love this. Listen. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and called her blessed. And her husband, listen, he praises her also. He says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her work bring her praise at the city gate. A woman who submits to her husband out of respect for God is not a weak woman who's run over. This is a powerful woman of influence. This is a woman of character. This is a woman of wisdom who's reliable. Brings glory to God. Amen.